Time now for The Hardline, powered by Johnny Londoff Chevrolet.
Welcome back, my friends, to the show that never ends. We're so glad you could attend. Come inside, come inside.
The Hardline features former St. Louis Blue, Cam Jansen.
Now the right by Jansen. Another left by Jansen. Now he goes to the uppercut.
And former Missouri Tiger, T.J. Moe.
Underneath, T.J. Moe sidesteps a man, gets to the 45. Left sideline, he's got a seam. T.J. Moe to the 30, to the 20, to the 10, to the house. 68 yards.
Whoa, unbelievable.
Along with Eric Messersmith and Matt Whitener, The Hardline, powered by Johnny Londoff Chevrolet, starts now. Here's Eric Messersmith.
Eric, Cam, TJ, Matt, and Hannah with you. We are at DB's in Soulard, 1615 South Broadway, broadcasting from here tonight. If you're looking for a great place to come watch the Cardinal game or the next Blues game, and there will be another game in the series against the Wild, DB's is the place to do it. Last night, Cam, the Blues had a chance to close it out. We talked about it going in. I know some people made fun of you on our text line, which, by the way, is 855-282-8255. Also, the Ryan Kelly phone line, 855-282-TALK. People saying you kept harping on get the first goal, which seems obvious, but it totally changes the complexion of the series. The Blues got that first goal the first three games. They didn't get it last night, and that allowed Minnesota to play with the lead for the first time.
Well, first of all, I had a good time last night. We all went to the game, and being in a booth with Chaser and Kerber and Harabi was fun, and we got to dissect the game pretty good, although the game was terrible. The guys did not come. Everything I said and we harped on for the past couple days, it felt like an eternity between games. I mean, there's only so much homework you could do on these guys. But the main thing was come out with a vengeance. Let them know they're going to be in for a treat. This is our house. Get the first goal. Play sound defense. Everything we harped on, they did the complete opposite. The linesman had a couple boneheaded plays, but we iced the puck, what, eight times in a row in the first. It was the most.
Three in, like, the first 48 seconds or something.
Oh, my God. It was just so painful. It was slow. They were all over us. They seemed so much faster than we did. And I remember looking at my notes, and I went back to my notes a couple days ago, and I remember saying the Blues look fast. The last couple games, they looked really fast. Well, they absolutely did not look fast in that game whatsoever, and they made Minnesota look unbelievably quick, especially in the neutral zone. They rim the puck up and kick it to the center. Martin Hanzel comes in and rips a puck right between Petrangelo's stick, where Petra was caught flat-footed sitting there. No gap pressure, nothing at all. No communication on defense. They out-hit us. They did everything better than us. It was a painful game to watch, even though we all went and had a good time one way or the other.
You know, it's like when Hitch was the coach, it was dump and chase. And then Yo took over, and it was skate the puck up. And the only time I can remember that happening was Parayko doing it one time last night. Aside from that, they were pinching off the Blues every time they entered their zone.
Oh, man. We turned the puck over so many times, too. And so many times that we could have shot the puck. Vladimir Tarasenko, 91, dude. Yeah. He came in, and not to mention, not only did he not shoot, he's got the best shot in the world. He could shoot from anywhere, and he comes down in a couple spots, and he I don't know who was yelling for it. I think it was one of the Wild came behind him, and that's a little trick sometimes. You kind of bang your stick and say, hey, Vladdy. And maybe he thought it was one of the guys. He dropped past it. And not only was it a turnover, but it turned to be like an odd man rush, too, and Jake Allen had to make an unbelievable save on it. Jake looked good. There's a couple miscommunications behind the net when the first goal. Bertuzzo needs to talk to him there, although that could have been icing call. Jake had a scramble and played it. Maybe Jake could have rimmed it high off the glass. Somebody needed to support him. Again, no communication. And they stomped on us, and they took advantage of it. And I'm worried about a couple things. Obviously I'm worried about going up to Minnesota and playing in front of that crowd again. You know they're going to be riled up. I'm afraid Devin Dubnyk is going to turn things around and be the main focus instead of Jake Allen now.
That was his best game of the series.
He played really well, and he didn't have too many shots. Hell, he was engaged, although Jake Allen was too. But I just don't want Dubnyk to start getting hot now and make it about him. What do you think, girl?
Yeah, I was just going to say that 10 minutes into the first period, the Blues don't have one shot on net.
No.
And by that time, I think the Wild had six or eight. It was bad. I think that Colton Parayko and Joel Edmondson were the only D pairing that did anything productive out there. They showed more in the third period, but Alex Pietrangelo straight up handed it over to Niederreiter, and they're lucky that he didn't score on one of those times. Vladimir Tarasenko with so many opportunities to shoot the puck, and he just dropped past it to no one. Their passing was inconsistent. It was not good. Everyone was out-muscled entire game. Everyone was out-muscled. You saw two of the penalties slashing because the guys are lazy and they can't get back, and so they're slashed.
Yep.
It was pathetic, and definitely the first period, I think they were flat-foot the whole time. People in the press box were like, I'm literally tired. I can barely watch this game.
Here's a different outlook on some of the guys, and especially in the press now that we're in the media. Not only are they like Jeremy Rutherford and Lou Korak and those guys, Tom Timmerman, they're all up there. It's so funny. And they watch the game. They're engaged because they love the Blues. But also, now they got to go back up to Minnesota. They're all walking out every week like, damn it. That could have been seven days off. Could have hung out with my family. You know, JR wants to hang with his daughter and do his things. Now he's got to go back up to Minnesota. I know that's an irrelevant statement, but it's pretty funny now that you're on the other side and you see everybody. Not only are they Blues fans and they're pissed, but they're like, God, this is more work for me.
Right. Let me throw out a theory, especially to you guys who actually played at a high level. In sports, I think one of the things that you can't do is you can't fake being desperate. Like, you can talk about it. You can try to motivate yourself to do it, but you're not really desperate until you're actually desperate. And it's just a tough situation when one team really is desperate and the other team isn't. And I just think it's tough to match that level of desperation unless your back is literally against the wall.
I feel like it might be better that they played terrible. Get that terrible. You're due for one bad game, really. And although the first game wasn't very good, they still were pretty sound defensively one way. They let a lot of shots up, but their structure was there.
Yeah.
The structure was not there last night whatsoever. So I feel like to try to take something positive, good, get your ass kicked there. Get smacked in the face a little and be like, whoa, okay. We need to bring our A game and then some going into Minnesota. Otherwise, if that was kind of a back-and-forth game and they lost in overtime or double overtime, then it's like, okay, now we got to regroup and have that same focus and that same intensity. Now that they look so bad to where like, okay, let's write that off, forget about it, suck it up, go out to Minnesota and have an A game for once and really take it to them.
Eric, to your point, I think when a team is playing with desperation, the great teams meet them right there. And the desperation should be to close it out.
The
Blues should have been feeling that desperation yesterday in a different way. The desperation is to get people healthy, to get 7 days off, have Stastny back on the ice for the next series, to get your guys healthy, and to go out there and meet them because you knew they were going to be desperate, so you had to be just as desperate.
No doubt.
The great teams do that.
Absolutely. And I tell you what, the Wild's defense, give them credit, they looked really good. They shut down Tarasenko.
They looked a lot better.
They looked
good. All the different line changes. But I was going to say in the first period, I didn't think that Minnesota Wild looked outstanding, this great outstanding team.
We looked
terrible. They were desperate, but they weren't looking to their best potential. Their best potential, I think, was when they came out hot in that first game of the series. Last night, I was like, this is the slowest game I've watched in a long time in that first period by both teams.
I think the Blues made it slow. I thought many looked fast.
Looked fast compared to the Blues, but they were not to their top potential by any means.
Thank God. Well, it doesn't matter anyway.
Even their coach said that after the game.
But maybe even if it was a 6-0 game, you're like, okay, you guys got your ass kicked. Figure this out. Regroup. Back. Let's get this thing back on track. But again, give the Wild's D core some credit. They shut down 91. Like you can't believe. I didn't even notice him. He needed to be the man. I was so pissed about that. What's up, Maddie?
Hey, on the text line, they've got a question here saying from the 314. What about that hit at the end of the game, though? That sends a message, huh?
That was the Alex Pietrangelo hit?
Yeah, talking about when the hit.
Okay.
Where Petro had the hit, you look up, the clock is
that's
off.
That's two games in a row now. Is that two games in a row? No, about that's two out of three that Petro did something. Does that set the tone? Oh, sure. How about setting the tone on the first shift of that game? You set the damn tone at the beginning of the game. That's why you set it. The tone need to be set. Right off the bat, one way or the other, and it doesn't have to come from 27. It should be coming from a lot of other guys, too, like Ryan Reeves or like Vladimir Tarasenko. Don't be shy to run somebody over, Vladdy, and get the puck and take it to the net. That's how you set the tone, in my opinion. What's
to me,
up?
To me, this, I'm sorry. Go ahead, Manny.
No, go ahead, man.
To me, this was in no. He wasn't thinking tone setter. He was frustrated.
He was
and
pissed.
He went and hit somebody.
Of course,
that's all this was.
Just you're
if
right.
You're sending a message. You're putting Reeves out on the first line to
Thank
start the
you.
Game, and you're going to kill somebody.
Look,
they used to do that with you, Cam.
I know how to send a message.
Who's
damn it.
Starting the game, Cam? Get out there. You start the game.
I know how to send a message. Look at a couple of videos.
Well, to speak to that point, you do know how to send a message.
Yeah.
What's the message that needs to get sent to start game five?
Not the ones I usually send, because I'll probably get a 2, 5, and 10 these days. But look,
you can still get one. You know.
I want somebody like Vladimir Tarasenko to set the tone and send a message off the bat, meaning I'm going to take this puck and no one's going to get it away from me. That's the message I'm going to send. And if you want to, I'm going to bulldoze you with a reverse hit, then take it to the net. That's the message I want to see. I want to see Robert Pertuzzo step up and lay somebody out. If he calls a brawl, you'll get coincidental penalties. So what? That crowd will be rocking.
It seems like everybody is just way off on it. Like it's weird hearing people say there was a message at the end of that game. It didn't even resemble
not
a message
even close,
to me.
Man.
And that's not what he was thinking.
Not even close.
I don't like
what message you sent him there. You just got smoked.
Yeah,
it's
just
not like they ran
you're
you.
You're frustrated.
You're frustrated, and Parisi wasn't expecting to get hit. And I don't mind it. Don't get me wrong, Petro. I want you to do it at the beginning of the game, and I want everybody else to do it too. Joel Edmondson, guys like that, Reaver. I mean, Reaver hit a couple guys, maybe. Sabatka had a good game.
Here's the other thing. Yeah, I hope he's okay. I know he came back.
He's okay.
The one thing too is, if you're the Wild, you're not looking at Petro and saying, "Okay, that like we got that." Maybe in the first period, now you're going, "We got two more periods of this, boys. So buckle up." At the end of a game, what you're saying is, "Fellas, heal up. We'll get them."
Yeah. No. Go ahead, Matty. What are you saying?
Yeah. A couple of questions on the text line is fascinating. Where you see this? I'll just roll two into one. How about Patrick Berglund and David Perron? They're asking, where are they at? Where are they at in this series?
True.
Hannah, what do you got on that, too?
Go ahead, girl.
Well, I was just going to say, I didn't notice anyone in front of the net last night.
No.
We always talk about them needing to be right up there. How many times were their rebounds back, you know, right off of Dubnyk's pads that they could have just shot right in? There were so many times.
Absolutely. Bergie, Perry, you know what to do here. You guys are veteran guys. You've been in this organization a long time. You've been in the playoffs. Get in front of that net. You guys could set the tone, too. Perry, I haven't seen you draw. I haven't seen a David Perron that I saw last couple weeks going into the playoffs. That David Perron that I saw that stands in front of the net, that will maybe whack the goalie a little bit when the ref's not looking, and the goalie and Dubnyk gets pissed off, and maybe Charlie Coyle has to jump on him or whatever. That's not a David Perron that reverse hits guys in the corner, falls down, still has the puck. Everybody's trying to get him, three guys on him. All of a sudden, he makes a play into the slot in an open, whoever, Patrick Berglund. I haven't seen that David Perron. I want to see it next game.
Well, Cam, and that was a point that you made literally while we were sitting there watching the game last night. When you saw the puck come off of Dubnyk, how many times did it just clear out and the Wild just took it and ran away?
It's way too easy for him.
Everybody seemed to be standing around the perimeter, not mixing it up.
Oh, and you know what happens right after that? You have to back check, and you got to play in the D zone. And playing in the D zone is the worst thing ever. It completely wears you out. You go all the way in the offensive zone, you get a shot, rims back around, all of a sudden they're flying down, going 100 miles an hour, and you're stuck for 45 seconds, and it kills you for the next shift.
So there will be a Game 5. It will be Saturday afternoon, and here's a reminder that Game 5 will be on Channel 5, KSDK, this Saturday at 2. Afterwards, stay tuned. KFNS's Frank Cusimano and our own Cam Jansen will be hosting a half-hour post-game. That's this Saturday, immediately after the Blues Wild Game 5 on Channel 5.
Your girl's going to be there, too.
My girl's going to be there anchoring the newscast after you're on. Why are you saying uh-oh?
I don't know.
You're going to run game on my girl?
What are you talking about?
Well, you're saying uh-oh.
Now you're going to go there and watch, aren't you?
I am. I'm going to be watching out
for
you.
No, it's going to be fun, man. I'm such a creep. You brought it up. I had no idea.
She did tell me she thought you were cute before, so I'm just saying.
Yeah.
Now, but you and Frank.
That was before she knew you had low T.
Yes.
Not anymore.
Now she's saying, "Where I wanted to meet this TJ."
Well, there's a reason why TJ has high testosterone. He's never used it.
So make sure you turn to Channel 5. It's weird. We're promoting Channel 5.
Hell
the
yeah.
World's colliding for all
Gosh,
of us.
Gosh, we're working for everybody, aren't we?
Coming
oh
up
my God.
On Saturday after Game 5. This Blues Report was brought to you by Dirt Cheap. Turn Cinco de Mayo into Cheapo de Mayo at your local Dirt Cheap, where all of your Mexican favorites are always on the cheap, with the largest selection of tequilas, Mexican beers featuring Modelo, Dos Equis, and Corona, ready to drink with premium margaritas as well, and of course, all the necessary party supplies such as the Jose Cuervo Salt and Ice. Download the Dirt Cheap app for a list of convenient area locations and to get a free Dirt Cheap Can Koozie. Cam, Dirt Cheap is your one-stop party chop.
You're damn right. Cheap, cheap, fun, fun, baby.
That's Cam Jansen along with TJ Moe, Matt Whitener, Hannah Yates. I'm Eric Messersmith. We are at the DB's in Soulard, 1615 South Broadway. If you want to come on out and hang out, broadcasting until 6 o'clock, this is the Hard Line here on 590 The Fan.
Let's get a Hard Line news update with Matt Rocchio.
Blues with two more days off before they get back underway in Minnesota on Saturday afternoon. They'll still be going for a series win. Puck drop is set for 2 p.m. Blues had an optional skate earlier today. The one big note coming out, Paul Stastny said he's making progress, but he's not sure about Game 5. Head coach Mike Yeo followed it up and said that they won't know about Stastny's availability until after tomorrow's practice. We'll keep you updated on that tomorrow. In NHL action tonight, the Blue Jackets and the Penguins are one of your early games. Penguins go for the win there, leading 3-1. The Rangers and the Canadiens are knotted up at 2 apiece. And you'll be able to hear this game today on 590 The Fan and, of course, 105.7 HD2. The Blackhawks and the Predators, as the Predators will go for the sweep of the Blues rivals there. And then the Sharks and the Oilers are your late game. That one is knotted up at 2 apiece. Cardinals in action tonight. First pitch is set for 7:10 p.m. Carlos Martinez versus the right-handed pitcher Zach Davies. Might be a tough one for the Cardinals. Davies, a 1-0 record and a 1.66 ERA in three starts against the Cardinals. I'm Matt Rocchio with your 590 Sports Report.
Thank you very much, Rock. The Campaness Gateway Golf Card, still on sale at InsideSTL.com. There's only a few of these left, though, less than 50 cards. If you're a golfer, you want to take advantage of this through our Listener Rewards program. You get four 18-hole rounds with a cart, also one 9-hole round with a cart, and two large buckets of practice range balls. That's over a $250 value, and you get it all for just $125. You get to play Tapawingo, Aberdeen, the Quarry at Crystal Springs, Belk Park, and Creve Coeur. Again, don't miss out. Less than 50 of these remain, and once they're gone, they are gone. You can make tee times anytime Monday through Friday and afternoon on the weekends. Best of all, the cart is included. Save over 50% on golf this spring and summer with our Gateway Golf Card. It's on sale now at InsideSTL.com. And this is The Hard Line, powered by Johnny Londoff Chevrolet on 590 The Fan, 105.7 HD2 FM, and InsideSTL.com.